came into the world as decently as they did, they can have another think.
He pointed a finger at her again. So as soon as this little bastard is born, I am transporting it here. And if you're not at home, then I will hand it to that other woman. And if there's no one at all in any of the houses you people own, I leave it right here on your doorstep. He walked towards her and lowered his voice. And you can tell your husband from me that if I ever see his face anywhere, I'll come after him with an iron bar that I keep handy. Now, have I made myself clear? Ailish wanted to ask him what part of Ireland he was from as a way of ignoring what he had said, but he had already turned away. She tried to think of something else to say that might engage him. Have I made myself clear? He asked again as he reached his car. When she did not reply, he made as though to approach the house once more.
I'll be seeing you in August, or it could be late July, and that's the last time I'll see you, Ailish.
How do you know my name? She asked.
Oh, that husband of yours is a great talker. That's how I know your name. He told my wife all about you.
If he had been Italian or plain American, she would not have been sure how to judge whether he was making a threat he had no intention of carrying out. He was, she thought, a man who liked the sound of his own voice. But she recognized something in him, a stubbornness, perhaps even a sort of sincerity. She had known men like this in Ireland. Should one of them discover that their wife had been unfaithful and was pregnant as a result, they would not have the baby in the house. At home, however, no man would be able to take a newborn baby and deliver it to another household. He would be seen by someone. A priest or a doctor or a guard would make him take the baby back. But here in this quiet cul-de-sac, the man could leave a baby on her doorstep without anyone noticing him. He really could do that. The way he spoke, the set of his jaw, the determination in his gaze convinced her that he meant what he was saying. Once he had driven away, she went back into the living room and sat down. She closed her eyes. Somewhere, not far away, there is a woman pregnant with Tony's child. Ailish did not know why she presumed that the woman was Irish too. Perhaps her visitor would be more likely to order an Irish woman around. Anyone else might stand up to him or leave him. Suddenly, the image of this woman alone with a baby coming to look for support from Tony frightened her even more than the image of a baby being left on her doorstep. But then that second image too, when she let herself picture it in cold detail, made her feel sick. What if the baby was crying? Would she pick it up? If she did, what would she do then? As she stood up and moved to another chair, the man, so recently in front of her, real and vivid and imposing, seemed like someone she had read about or seen on television. It simply wasn't possible that the house could be perfectly quiet one moment and then have this visitor arriving in the next. If she told someone about it, then she might know how to feel, what she should do. In one flash, an image of her elder sister, Rose, dead now more than 20 years, came into her mind. All through her childhood, even in the smallest crisis, she could appeal to Rose, who would take control. She had never confided in her mother, who was, in any case, in Ireland with no telephone in her house. Her two sisters-in-law, Lena and Clara, were both from Italian families and close to each other, but not to Ailish. In the hallway, she looked at the telephone on its stand. If there was one number she could call, one friend to whom she could recount the scene that had just been enacted at her front door. It wasn't that the man, whatever his name was, would become more real if she described him to someone. She had no doubt that he was real.